All right, I think we'll start this off. I first want to, well, first off, this is the Sendero GPS version 6.0 chat session on the current release of Sendero GPS on the BrailleNote product line. And I want to thank Jerry Hogan for his participation and offering this chat room for us. I really appreciate this, Jerry, and I will want to thank you so much. And for all of the, the blind vets and friends, I appreciate everything that you guys have offered today to allow us to facilitate this chat session. So I just want to make sure that everyone can hear me and that I'm sounding all right.
I hear you perfectly, Sean, and thank you very much.
All right. Actually, I'm going to see if I can lock my... Let me go here. Actions. I'm going to lock the... can I do that? Lock the key. Oh, it is lock the top key. All right. So, Sendero GPS 6.0. This is our... what is it? This is our sixth major version of Sendero GPS. We've actually had quite a few releases in the past, a lot of minor versions, I think up 11 now. So this is our sixth major one, version 6.0. And not only do we have brand new 2009 map and point of interest data, but we added some major new features to the product line and really tried to speed up things, especially in the address lookup arena. Some of the new things as far as the maps is concerned, we actually have created a new North American map bundle, and that includes Canada and the United States. And we also have a new Western European map bundle, which has like 15 different countries. We just added Luxembourg to that list. And we have a new map bundle, South Africa, which just got released yesterday, which is very exciting. And that includes three of the small countries down there: South Africa, Lesotho, and Swaziland. So Sendero is very excited about that. And also yesterday we released Mexico, Maps for Mexico, which is very exciting news. Oh, I just see that Kevin Chow has jumped in here. He was an instrumental part in getting Sendero GPS tested and found a lot of issues along the way, and very pleased to have him on our beta team. And so thank you so much, Kevin, for joining us today. So along with the new maps of South Africa and Mexico, we have also, there's New Zealand and Australia. Those maps are actually provided by NavTech. All of the other maps are provided to us from TeleAtlas, and these are all brand new maps. And the points of interest for Europe actually is really new. It's like June of this year. So our folks over the pond there, they're getting the latest and the greatest for sure. The rest of the maps and points of interest are from around, what was it? March, I think, but it definitely takes a long time to actually, from receiving the maps from TeleAtlas and the points of interest and building the new maps for Sendero products, there's quite a few steps involved and a lot of testing that has to happen along those lines. So I'm going to now get into some of the new features, and in case anyone has a question, I'll let up for a second. All right, I'm going to start off by first having a drink of coffee here and wake myself up. All right. Gotta have priorities straight, right?
8 o'clock in the morning there.
Yep, bright and early here. I always get up early, actually. This is late for me. I'm usually up around 5 a.m. my time starting to work. I love the morning. It's the quietest time in my house, so can get actually some work done usually. So back to the features. The biggest feature I would, and I expect most people will notice this right away, is the brand new address searching module that has been completely rewritten from scratch. Not only did this speed up address lookups and made it more streamlined, but it also reduced the number of files in the maps. So we used to have a whole bunch of small little files for street indexes and city indexes and these thumb indexes and on and on and on. Well, now that's replaced by one city index table database, and we also have a second file for zip code and postal code database. So that's right, we now have the ability to not only search by address, but also by zip code or postal code if that's available for the country, you know, if it's in the map data from from Tel Atlas, from the map company. So searching for zip codes and postal codes is a huge new feature, and you can actually select, depending on what you want to do, either from a city lookup or a zip code lookup. And the along those same lines, we also added the ability to have alphanumeric address support. So in places like Wisconsin that have both numbers and characters, letters for addresses, they now you can actually search for these either by just the numeric portion of the address or the alpha and numeric portion intermixed. And actually, I think we even do that better than Google Maps, because in Google Maps you can only do the numeric portion, and we can actually search for both. So that's a pretty cool improvement. We also added the ability to find address ranges, and this is an important feature, so that if you don't know the specific address, you can actually find out the different address ranges, and you can go to an address that way. That was actually a feature request from Freedom Scientific. They had it in their previous product, Street Talk, and they asked to have that put in, and we were able to accommodate them. So I'm very excited about that ability as well. And that's another big announcement that Sendero GPS is now on the Pacmain with Street Talk VIP. So Sendero is very excited about that release and that partnership, and can't wait for Freedom to update their Street Talk VIP to the latest SDK, which has this new all these new features that I'll be discussing today.
What SDK stand for?
Software Developers Kit. It's a technical term for basically software that we license to third parties such as Freedom Scientific, and they take that and put their own front-end user interface on it, but they make calls into our software, our SDK.
Charles, Street Talk VIP, does that use the 2009 maps and points of interest, or is that still using the 2008 maps and POIs, since it's the older, not the latest SDK yet?
Yeah, absolutely. It's using the older 2008 maps and points of interest, because the old SDK had no idea how to read the new address module. And so when they finally upgrade to the latest version, then they'll have the latest maps and points of interest and all these new features which they can expose to their users or not. It's completely up to them. We just give them the new software, and it's up to them to, we tell them what we've changed, and it's up to them to implement the changes on their end. Some of it, it's seamless, but others will require work on their part to facilitate that.
I'm a little confused on one thing. For those who Freedom Scientific come out with the SDK for their Street Talk, what's the difference between using a Sendero Empower and using Geo or Voice Sense and Freedom Scientific your DK product? Is it basically the same now?
Well, there'll always be differences. Basically you're talking the speed of the machine that you're running on. So a mobile geo, which is running on a cell phone, can't even compare to a Braille Note or a PacMate as far as speed and accessibility, as far as being able to type things in quickly and et cetera. So you have basically the form factor is one thing, the speed of the unit is another, Braille output, all of these things. It's just really, as far as the SDK is concerned, it's all the same underlying stuff. It's really what how the user interface and the look and feel of the machine is, which is basically what each other party brings to the table. And the, once they all upgrade to the latest 4.0, then everyone will be at the same, at the same level. But right now, only the Sendero GPS on the Braille Note has the latest, and it's now up to each company, HIMSS, Code Factory, and Freedom Scientific, to catch up.
And as I understand it, Charles, version 8 of Keysoft, although I do have a registered copy, comes with a 90-day trial of Sendero GPS version 6. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. With Keysoft 8, we have entered in an agreement with Humanware to try to get more customers, basically, and expose GPS to all of their user base. And so we're hoping that with this 90-day free trial with Keysoft 8, that we can start to bring on some more people and even give them a reduced price in order to make that more tempting for them. But yeah, it's now part of Keysoft 8, at least. I don't know if they're going to continue, in future releases or not. It's completely up to Humanware. But yeah, it's in there, and it's really the same software as Sendero GPS 6.0. It just has a different number of days for the trial version. So once you purchase the real version, you just enter in the license key like you would normally, and it becomes the real version, just like the 15-day trial of Sendero GPS. Okay, so on to more of the features, and I'll stop periodically, so hold your questions, and then I'll let you talk, and then we'll continue. This seems to be working all right. A few other things, not only the we added the address ranges, but we also we had previously the list of cross streets. We've actually enhanced that a little bit and made the list of cross streets in going in order down the street, starting at the lowest address range and then moving all the way up down the street. So that was a nice improvement. And we also just tried to make the whole entering the address a lot easier, because before if you messed up halfway along the line and you tried to back out, you would exit out of the entire process. And now we actually give you choices if you want to try a different street name or city name or change the map or all of these things we allow you to do now very easily. And we also, when asked for the either the street or either the address or at the city prompt, you could actually type in the full address, which is kind of cool. So you could actually, type in when it asks for the city, the full address, such as 100 Main. We have to put a colon to separate it between the address part and then the city, and then you type in the space and then the city name. So 100 Main colon space Sunnyvale, for example. And then it will, if that address is actually found and it's unique, there's only one of them, then you'll get there directly. You won't have to be prompted for the address and then the street name. Or if you just type in for the city name, Sunnyvale, and then it asks for the address, you can just type in 100, or you can type in 100 space Main Street, for example, or Main, or whatever. And again, it will find it. And if you only type in the street number, then it'll prompt you for the street name after that, and then give you a list of choices. Or if there's only one choice, it'll take you right to it and ask you, what do you want to do with it? You know, make that as your virtual position, or as a, create a route to it, destination, etc. So a lot of flexibility in the address module, made really cleaned that up, spent an enormous amount of time on that, and the beta testers were really hammering on that and really helping to make that experience a lot more user-friendly. We also added in an exhaustive search, which will definitely help in foreign countries for street lookups, because the database is, you know, is when searching for a street name, here it's fine. If it's Main, it's Main Street. But in other places, it's Street Main. So you would actually have to type in something like street space and then Main in order to find the street. But do you know if it's a street or if it's an avenue or if it's a boulevard? You may not know. So you were kind of in trouble in previous versions. In Spain, for example, a lot of the streets start with Cala de la, and then, you know, Santa Maria. So you would have to type in every time, Cala de la, or is it Cala de la, or Cala de le, or, you know, some other, you know, if it's masculine or feminine. It was a real nightmare. So we added the ability to do an exhaustive search. So you just have to type in Maria or Santa Maria or something like that, just the street name. So that's a huge improvement, especially in foreign countries. So that was a lot of thought has gone into this, that's behind the scenes that a lot of users wouldn't even know about. But they just know that the ability to find an address has been made a lot easier with 6.0. One other thing that's a huge improvement is how we divided up the maps. In Europe before, for example, in the UK, each country, if it was a large country, was split up into different provinces or regions, and you had to actually type in you had to select which region you wanted to find an address in before, and then find the city. Well, if you didn't know what region or what province or what area that city belonged in, you basically had to try each one, and some of them had like 15 different regions. So that was not good. So we actually, now you select the country, like Germany, for example, and then you can then search for the city from that. So that was, you know, again, another instrumental improvement to making our foreign maps a lot more accessible. Okay, let's see. I think that's basically it for the address lookup. Any questions or comments on that before I switch to some other new improvements? All right, cool. So we also made some changes to the points of interest, on the ability to search for points of interest. Now when a point of interest triggers that's nearby, we also tell you what street the POI is on. For example, it'll say something like Davis Hair Salon, bonus, which is the category, E Street, which is the street it's on, and 168 feet right. And this would be, you know, so this tells you a lot of information when POIs trigger around you. Right. And that Chris just pointed out to me that that's when you do a POI search. When POIs trigger in a look around event, you don't get as much information, but you more than likely don't need all of that extra information as well. If you want to find more information about that point of interest that just triggered, you have hotkeys to bring up its details as well. So we try to give you the most important information without being too verbose and really trying to keep it the chatter down to a minimum. So it's a real delicate dance that we're doing on. We want to give you as much information as possible so that what you hear makes sense and you understand what's going on. But we also don't want to bombard you with too much information because then the machine will just keep talking. So it's a delicate tight rope that we're walking on this. But as far as points of interest, when you do searching for points of interest, we now bring you into a list, which is a huge improvement over before, where you were really left in the main program. And a lot of users didn't quite get that you were still in the program. You did a point of interest search, and then you could cursor up and down the list, but you were still in the main program. Now we actually bring you into a list of the points of interest that were found, and you have some real important advantages being in a list. You have dedicated keys to do certain tasks, like set it as a destination, etc. You could also have hotkeys to quickly get you to a point of interest. So if you did a search, you can then type in F, for example, and it'll jump you to points of interest that were found that start with the letter F, or J, and it'll jump to the J's. So that's a quick way of doing things. And any one of those POIs that's in that list, you just hit enter on, and you bring up the POI actions menu, which from there you can set it as a destination, set your virtual position there, find out, ask for its details, and find out its phone number, etc. So bringing it up in a list has been a real nice way to organize that new feature. Oh, that was another thing that that we've changed is the lists. Any list now that comes up, you actually get what index you are in the list. So if you're, the list, let's say, is 10, there's 10 items in the list, and you're down at item 3, it will at the end, just like in Windows, when you're in a list and with JAWS or WindowEyes, it'll tell you that you're at, 1 of 15 or whatever it happens to be, or 3 of 10 in my example. So, and that can be turned on or off. So that was a nice little feature that we added in to all of our lists. Let's see. The other thing with points of interest is we took out the ending distance. When you're doing advanced POI searches. This was done obviously on purpose and for an important reason. We found that users who didn't quite understand the subtle complexities of how this works could really get themselves into a deep hole. If they search, for example, all points of interest between 0 and 100 miles, the machine would go off for, 10, 15 minutes while it started to grind through, and you'd be lucky if you didn't run out of memory. So we basically have cut that out so that there is no end distance. We still left the start distance, so you can at least jump, if you know that it's 100 miles away, you can at least, start it out there at 100 miles, and then it will do a timed search, just like we're currently doing, and it'll try to find as many POIs as it can, and if it fails within, it'll stop within 10 seconds, I believe. And previously, we also were doubling that time each time you searched, and we no longer do that. So we're trying to make the system more responsive so that when you do a POI search that, you know, you'll get a response back if it fills up its buffer. And I think it's like we're trying to find the nearest 25 at a time points of interest. And then, but if it doesn't find what you're specifically looking for after about 10 seconds, it just returns and shows you what it found at that point. Do you have a question, Rich?
Sorry about that. Didn't mean to key up.
All right. Let's see. Oh, right. We added some really cool stuff to the city details. When you press space with C or read with C on the QWERTY keyboard, previously we told you things like the city, obviously, and the street that you're on, the zip code and county and stuff like that. But now we also include the information to the road class information. Before, we used to only say if it was local or limited access, or you know, but now we've also added in if it's, for example, pedestrian only, if it's a split street, meaning that there's like some type of divider in between the two streets, and you know, the street, there's actually two, as far as the map's concerned, two separate streets running parallel to each other. If it's a one-way street, if you're in a bridge, like on a bridge or in a tunnel, or all of these things have been added, which I also think we tell you if it's a toll road as well. So yeah, a lot of information has been added to this this field when you do a detailed city where am I, basically. So that was a kind of cool thing, and really can help orientate yourself and figure out, well, why is the system behaving this way? You know, when it creates a vehicle route, it always goes this way for some reason, and you find out, oh, well, that's because this street is one way. Oh, no wonder the pedestrian routes will go the opposite way down this street, and vehicle routes, it behaves differently, or something that you wouldn't expect if you didn't know those streets, for example.
I like that, Charles, because here in San Antonio, move away from Los Angeles, here in San Antonio now, I live in L.A. for like 48 years, and now I live here. There's so many streets like what you're just talking about, and I got my wife, she drives a car, but I couldn't figure out what's wrong, you know, and then we find out later, you know. Oh, okay. Yeah, that can be
Chris has left the room.
Big improvement.
Yeah, thanks, Jerry. Yeah, we thought that was important to add, and I've been meaning to add that for a few years now, and I finally got around to adding it in. It wasn't even really on our radar, but I was doing something else at the time and just decided to throw it in there, and that was a real nice find. Everyone was really excited when I finally was able to do that, so it was kind of funny. Let's see, we also we made a few more things into lists. Lat Lawn, for example, when you announced the Lat Lawn with the Y key, we used to just tell you it in one long, big, huge string, the Lat Lawn, which is kind of useless, except if you're copying into the clipboard, I guess. But we now have you in a list where you can have it, you know, repeat it, spell it out, etc., and have the latitude and longitude on two separate list items. And then also the ability to change it from degrees, minutes, and seconds to decimal degrees. So that's, you know, something nice so that if you're using another program, for example, you can have our system tell you where you are in either format so that you can type it into the other system directly. Someone have a question?
Before anybody asks a question, when I was in Romania a couple of years ago, and I'll be going back with this March coming up, and I download, let's say, Texas map, and it tell me exactly how many mile, latitude and latitude is, even it will tell me exactly how far from where I'm at in Romania, how far it is to my home, and a lot of map is not set up for Romania because we were with a friend that had a BMW X5, and his GPS did not have Romania, but he knew the latitude and latitude and all that other stuff. He said that's perfectly okay with me. Like so and then what I like about Sendero, the Empower anyway, that you can, if I was living there, I can, if I didn't have the map, I could still set up my personal route.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the features that that a lot of other systems don't have, the ability to create manual routes. And so we're really, we're trying to improve on that. I think we did make some improvements to that in this version, the manual recording. There were some issues in previous releases. We also added the ability when you reach your destination to not have the system automatically close your route when you arrive at your destination. You can change that in the route management section of the help system. So you can toggle that on or off, auto close the route when you arrive, or turn that off so that you manually will force it to close, which in some cases you want it to do it, and others you don't. So that's another small improvement. The route information is now in a list, so you can cursor up and down through that list to get all of the information instead of it just being all added in one huge string and thrown at you. And I think we've added a few other pieces of information to that list as well.
Now, manual recreation is not possible with Mobile Geo.
They have the ability to do it as far as the SDK is concerned, but no, they haven't implemented that feature yet. But that I'm pretty sure that is also high on Code Factory's list to add to future versions. I'm not sure if it'll make it in this next one or not. It all depends on their timeline. There's been a ton of user interface improvements, how things are spoken to try to reduce the chatter, reduce the number of extraneous characters so that things fit better on the Braille display. We've completely, tried to make this product as Braille friendly as we can. Spent a lot of time making sure that the Braille display wouldn't be blank, for example, when you brought up some type of list or information, and you'd have to cursor, advance the Braille display in order to see what was happening. So we really spent a lot of time to improve how the Braille display functions with Sendero GPS.
Well, I just want to say, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, the first time I used the product, how much information that you don't realize is out there when you're, whizzing by in a car and all the streets and points of interest are going by. It definitely gives you more sense of what's going on. So,
I want to bring a point here that at a low vision or blind user, they're using the GPS that, people don't understand as a blind user. They want to pinpoint. They want to be like within inches from them where they're going. Which is what I don't think will happen in our lifetime. But I have a lot of sighted people that are using their GPS, and I find out that their GPS is horrible, and like, well, it'll get me there, but it may be 200 feet down, 400 feet down the street, but it get them there. And our map usually went in feet, X amount of yard instead of X amount of many yard, compared to for a sighted user. So we're pretty fortunate that if we get a map that when it is working good, it's pretty close to where we want to be.
Charles, do you ever see the day where college campuses maybe do some more with maps? I mean, I go to Hofstra University in New York, and I do a lot of manual route creation, but there's very few points of interest around of what of the particular buildings. I've really put those in manually. But do you ever see any improvement on that in the future?
That's always, something that that we would love to see happen. I know some universities actually, one in particular, I forget the one that's done it now, but they actually went into their geology department and got a digital map of their campus, and actually for every building there, not only created a point of interest at the center of the building, but then labeled each door of the building, like southeast entrance to Jordan Hall, for example. And they did that with a CAD system, and then sent me those coordinates, and then I put it into a point of interest database for them, which our users now get. So if you go to that campus, which I'll have to look that up and find out what the name of that was. It's escaping me for the moment. But yeah, so it can be done manually, but Teleatlas or a map company, I don't know. Maybe if they start really doing more pedestrian-based navigation, which they're planning on doing, they're starting to do this work, that college campuses would probably be high on their list to do, because that's a big market for them to get those students to use their system. Will they do it? I don't know. But we can do at least points of interest in these areas. And, if you have done a lot of manual routes, or at least points of interest in your campus, please send them to Sendero so that we can put it on our collective website for points of interest. Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. I've done quite a few points of interest, and I'll definitely send those up to Sendero to help other users.
Charles, you know me. My wife gets mad at me sometimes. I'm going to throw you out of the car. So I need a point of interest for every pub before I get home, so I can have my rest stop.
That's funny. Someone else had a question or a comment? All righty. Well, actually, the last major thing that we've added was something that Scott Duncan, who's an amazing sailor, blind sailor, that's a friend of ours, has been wanting for quite a few years now, and finally was talking to me. I think it was over at CSUN this past year, at the pub, over a pint. Wanted to have in the ability to have a sailing mode in our list of options for which direction you're traveling, and how this. So under the heading orientation menu and the GPS options, there's this new mode called sailing mode. And directions is expressed in terms of left, right, and relative degrees, and the absolute compass heading. So, for example, it could say something like, Golden Gate Bridge is 1.3 miles south, 90 degrees left. So it really tells you, okay, that is, it's south as far as north, south, east, west of you, but it's also 90 degrees to your left. So you would actually turn 90 degrees to your left, and so that's basically make a left turn, 90 degrees, so a complete left turn, and then you would be traveling south and heading directly towards the facing directly towards the Golden Gate Bridge. And this is something that sailors love, as far as they set a destination and they're trying to get to it, they're trying to go towards it, and so if you're right ahead of it, it'll say that it's ahead of you, X number of miles or whatever. And but if you're veering off to the left or the right, it'll tell you how many degrees, or how slightly to turn towards, so that you're facing directly towards it. So that's kind of cool. You may not want it when you're listening to it as far as it describing intersections, because that could be a lot of information that you start to lose. What exactly is it saying now? Because it's describing each part of the intersection in those terms. And whereas left-right would probably be just make a lot more sense in that situation. But so there's definitely some certain situations like hiking, et cetera, that this new heading orientation sailing mode could be very beneficial.
I got to say, that is awesome. Thanks, Charles. That's going to be useful for quite a bit of user. I like that. Never thought about that. But, that's great. Thanks.
Well, that's pretty much the list of different improvements. Does anyone have any questions? Okay, how about if we find out who actually has the 6.0? Does everyone here have the 6.0, or are you still on the fence?
I have the 6.0, Charles. Well, I guess I'm the only one that has a 6.0, and I got to say, it's, when I'm loading up the map and stuff, like when I was talking to you earlier, Charles, recently, it seemed like on the 6.0 for the M-Power, 7.5 is pretty quick in uploading the map and stuff, and then get the GPS fixed. Sometime when it's not getting a fix, I just turn off the M-Power, the map, and then go into connectivity, and then repair real quick automatically sometime, and then I go back and then it'll upload. Otherwise, it's very, very good, and I tested it in my neighborhood and stuff, and I like it when it tell you you're on the left and right side of the street and stuff like that. So, like the only downside is it's a bigger unit, and then you gotta pack it along with you. But otherwise, you know, like it does give you better information than all the other GPS that I have experience with for playing around with testing other units. I found out the M-Power is the most confident for me. But mobility skill is more important, but at least that GPS will at least let me know where I'm at.
Yep, I like you, Jerry, doing the GPS 6.0 on the M-Power, and it's working quite well, and you guys, Sendero's pulled off another fantastic release with some great features. Really enjoying it.
Thanks, Rich. And just for the rest of you, in case you don't know how to actually talk, I didn't. You can always type mess questions if you don't have a microphone up in the chat window, and I'll more than happy to answer those. Or you can also press the control key is actually the key that you would use in order to chat.
Now I'm gonna explain a little better than Charles did. He might be good on the map, but he's not good in the chat room. F7, you down, it's a tree build, you can down arrow and see who's in the room. F8 is the edit field, type in and just enter. F9, you can read the messages and whoever type of message and stuff. And leave, but not if you before you leave the room and there's some important information on the text stuff, you can go to your file and then go down to save it and save it save it to your computer. All the stuff that all the people that came in and left and text messages and stuff like that. But F8 function 8 is to edit and type a message, enter, and I'll send it. F9, you can go back and manually read it up and down arrows if you're a JAWS or window eye user.
And Charles, this may be more of a question for us to discuss via email, but you mentioned your beta team earlier. If one wanted to get involved with that, I've done beta testing for other companies over the years. If you're in need of another beta tester, I'd be glad to help out.
Yeah, thanks, Rich. We definitely have a lot of people interested for sure in that. Just send me an email with your address, charles@sendero group.com, and you know, we'll keep it in the list in case some beta testers are not able to do it for whatever reason. That could be you know, not going to be around during the test period, etc. So we always have a list of people that are interested and willing, and yeah, thanks.
Are you recording this session too, Charles?
Yes, I am, Jerry. And Rich, I just heard a pretty good endorsement that you're a good beta tester. So we have ears and eyes everywhere. So yeah, sure. Shoot me an email, and we'll see what we can do. There has been a few people that have contacted me just recently, actually, on trying to be to get onto the beta team. It's a pretty exclusive club. And we definitely like to have people from other countries as well. You know, we have quite a few U.S. Testers, but it definitely helps if you live in a different foreign country, so that we can make sure that the maps and points of interest and all of that works well in their respective countries. Well, we got about 5 minutes before. There was no real hard and set time to this chat session, but we're coming up on the hour, and might be a good place to end this. Could definitely take some more questions. Sendero, you know, what we're planning on doing in the future. Oh, we have a few more tricks up our sleeves. We're right now concentrating on getting out all of the maps for all the foreign countries, Europe, etc. Most of those have been done now. We're just fine-tuning and trying to make sure that the last few countries are working as expected before we release them. Excuse me. And yeah, so things are looking pretty good. Hopefully, I'll be able to, you know, start the next version. You know, but at this point, I really haven't even looked at all of the features that we were planning on for the next version. So Mike and I and my team, we need to sit down and look at over how this version did, and what people are asking for, what's in our list, what do we think we can do in a manageable amount of time, so that we can get another release at least started. So yeah, it's always an exciting process. We're you know, it's because of you guys that who buy the product and who support us that we're able to continue doing this. So we really appreciate your business and your kind words and the emails, you know, telling us how it has changed your lives is really great to hear, and really gives our team a boost when sometimes things are not going our way. So thank you so much, you know, for that.
I see on a email list, y'all, maybe somebody can answer this. See, son, are they planning to move to next year to go to San Diego? L.A. is going to stop, or don't mean it, bring this off topic, but is that true?
Yeah, it is true. We found out about it at this year's CSUN in L.A. this last March. And, yeah, they're moving it to San Diego to, forget exactly which, but it's near the Lamp District. So right, you know, nice walking distance, a lot of, you know, restaurants, shopping, stuff. So it's in a great location, and it's in one building, one hotel, so that it won't be spread out all over the place. I think it's going to be a great venue. So I'm really looking forward to it next year, although it'll be a learning curve for everyone. Everyone's used to CSUN, that go to there regularly. So it'll be a very different change in trying to figure out where people are going to go and, you know, where things are. So, but I think it's the right move, and I'm looking forward to it.
I used to live about 10 minutes from CSUN. Cal State University, Northridge. I live in Gadana Hill, and they were in Northridge. It's right next door to each other.
Well, actually, I'll throw this out to you guys. I always like to do this. What if you had the developers here, i.e. what we have right now, what you have right now, what would you ask for in the next version so that we have your ideas? 1 year we did a buy a feature, and we've actually implemented quite a few of those features now. There's still a few on that list that we haven't implemented, so we keep looking back to that list to see what would be nice to add in future versions. But what would you guys like to see in the next version or a future version?
Personally, I don't have an answer.
Steve Bauer has left the room.
I don't have an answer, but right now, as far as I'm looking at it, is that you're doing a, Sendero's doing a great job, especially when you guys made these special changes, and I'm very happy with that so far. Give me a couple months, I might come up with an answer, or answer that question.
Yeah, nothing off the top of my head, but of course, if I think of something, I'll put an email on the list, on the GPS talk user list.
Yeah, great. Thanks. Yeah, no pressure. Whenever you think of something that you'd like to see added, feel free to either send me directly or to the GPS Talk users list an idea, and we'll definitely consider it. We consider everything, and we also put it into our bug and feature request database so that we have a record of it, and we can always look for that and try to implement as many things as we can usually.
Actually, one quick question before we sign off here. I know that Sendero had the M1000 for a while and are using the iBlue. How often do you guys change receivers, and what is the process for you to, you know, I assume you test a lot of different receivers before you change the one that you ship with the product?
That's a great question, Rich. We don't have any hard and fast rules on when we switch. Basically, when a new receiver comes on the market that looks promising, we then grab a few of them, and well, we grab one to begin with and see what that how it behaves, and if it works out really well, then we get a few more, and then we really start to run it through its paces. And you know, one of the new chips that just got announced is the new Surf 4 chip, which is supposed to handle better the multipath situation, urban canyon effect. So I'll be very interested to see new receivers that come out with that chipset, which could surpass the MTK. MTK, I think that's the chipset. So once that receiver comes to market, that's a Bluetooth, small little Bluetooth receiver, we'll definitely try to grab that and start it through its paces. But yeah, we test it all over the world with Mike May going all over the world. He tests it in, in foreign countries with their light rail systems and their trains, and making sure it can pick up signals and how well it behaves. In those situations, we tested in huge cities like New York and San Francisco to make sure it works well in the urban canyon environment. We also tested in low speed situations where a person's walking around 1 mile an hour so that the headings don't get flipped all over the place, and the signal doesn't get bounced around. We actually make traces on specific routes, and then I visually plot those on a map, and we compare it to our current receiver. So we actually have traces of the M-Power and the iBlue now going around a square city block, and seeing how accurate it stays on the correct side of the street, for example, that the headings are correct, and that it makes the turn at the right position. All of this information, and then we scientifically test it, as far as we look at how many times it goes off of that where the person actually traveled, and we compare that to the previous receiver, and if there's a big enough improvement to it, then we'll consider actually switching to it. We also want to make sure that it has a good on-off switch. that the battery life is good, that the sensitivity to the satellites is good. So yeah, there's a lot of things that go into for us to testing new receivers. And once we've fully tested it in a lot of different environments, then sometimes we even grab a receiver and send it off to our all-star beta tester, Kevin, and have him run it through its paces. So we're very serious in testing new receivers before we endorse it and put and create a special case for it, you know, so that we bundle it with our package. And, you know, so that's sort of the process.
Wow, you trust Kevin, huh? What the GPS are going to change in the future, Shaw? And I haven't heard nothing lately for a long time. And when that's going to change, the new GPS system, and what role Sunil going to play in it, and what kind of changes we're going to see in the future?
Well, the U.S., well, there's a lot of changes going up right now. There's other countries that are putting up their own satellite systems. There's one for Europe that's going up, and I think Japan has their own. Russia is starting to put up their own. So new receivers coming out in the future will probably try to take advantage of a lot of these different systems out there because they're on different frequency bandwidths. Bands, and so that if one constellation is actually better than the other, then it can actually switch between the different systems. So that's one possible change in the future that could happen. And then new satellites going up from the U.S., DOD, Department of Defense, that are using multi-frequency antennas now on the satellites, so that there's not just one centered frequency for GPS, but another band, which will definitely help accuracy. And they could actually use both of those different frequency bands to improve the accuracy. So there's a lot of things, but each, you know, it takes time because they have to replace all of the satellites, and they're not going to replace a satellite until a previous one becomes goes out of service. So they have a release schedule, and sometimes that schedule gets messed up because the rocket didn't make it off the launch pad, you know, or there was some technical problem with the new receiver that didn't pass the test in time before the, you know, the shuttle had to go to the space station, etc. So a lot of things have happened in order, you know. So it's a slow process, but it's one that's improving slowly. And, you know, I think over time we'll start to see accuracies improve dramatically, you know. So I'm really optimistic on the future of GPS, actually.
Well, thank you for that detailed answer about the future of GPS and also your testing your receiver. It sounds like quite a process there. And look forward to see where you guys go with the product and where GPS goes in the future. So keep up the great work.
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate that. Kevin, you've been pretty quiet in this chat session. You just listening, or maybe you don't even have a mic, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm just deciding to listen on this chat session. Yeah, but just want to say that 6.0 is a really great product, and really enjoyed the whole beta testing process and testing on receivers, and it was pretty interesting listening to the whole GPS feature portion.
Well, you were a big part of it, and I appreciate all your help on that, and definitely look forward to working with you in the future versions and testing. So thank you so much. Anything else before we wrap this up, folks? I appreciate your time, and I hope that this session was informative and met your expectations. And you know, we'll have one more of these sessions tomorrow evening. Try to get a few other people that couldn't make this early morning, at least here in the West Coast. But anyway, I want to thank you all for joining us today, and keep GPSing. Get out there and spread the word, because this is really exciting, and I'm really proud to be a part of this with you all.
Joe, when you finish, can you give me a quick call?
Yeah, not a problem, Jerry. We can just stay in the chat room a little bit after this, or something, so not a problem. Again, I want to thank Jerry Hogan for offering the chat room for us to facilitate this this session. So thank you, Jerry, for that. We really appreciate it. And again, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us today. And we'll be talking to you in the future.
Thank you, Charles, very much.
Rich Cavallaro has left the room.
I believe in the product, and you have a good product. But I think all GPS is a good product. Sendero, your product seemed to be more formative for me, you know. But otherwise, you know, I'm not trying to promote this at all. I don't get nothing out of this, so I do it with my heart. So thanks again, Charles.
All right. Thanks, Jerry. All right, Mr. Ball. I think it's Mr. You've been very quiet. I hope that that this was informative for you, and that you enjoyed the session today.